Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9. We're here at That Conference on the That Conference main stage. We got a little fire going. It's really rustic.
Oh, it's pretty nice up here, yeah.
So I have here a special guest, Al
Zaudke.
Zaudke, got it right. Yeah. Tell us what you do, bud.
I'm an architect for a company here in Wisconsin. I'm a remote worker. I just recently moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm sick of the winter, so
yeah.
it's time to...
Knoxville's nice, too.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a lovely
hilly,
place.
A lot like this.
Yeah. It's like we're in Knoxville right now, but
it's
not
great.
Really.
Yeah,
absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the talk that you are... Did you give it already or you're giving
it? I gave it already. I gave it yesterday.
Well, so, tell us about it a little
bit. It was on message cues. Why should I use them?
Okay.
And what I tried to focus on was the patterns of message cues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're using Rabbit, Azure, Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's irrelevant. I was trying to get the concept around it. So I started out when I have, these are the advantages, and then I try and tie those advantages in. Reliability, performance,
mm-hmm.
and I lost the last one. Scalability.
Okay.
There we go. So as I show all these things, I show that you can scale this, which gives you performance, and you have reliability.
Uh-huh.
And so people tend to not understand when they should use queues, why they should use queues, why my database can't do what I'm doing. And so I'm just trying to bring that to them.
So let's back up and let's start with the beginning. What is the message queue pattern?
I've never really heard message queue pattern defined before.
Okay.
It was something I did to try and make my talk agnostic.
Got it.
The first time I gave it, it was based on Exchange. So I talked about the Exchange patterns of RabbitMQ.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of backed it up. But I came into a direct message pattern where I know what's going on and I'm sending it through. It's just happening later.
Sure.
And then there's fan out where you send one thing and multiple things can act on it.
I see.
And then the last one I have is a conditional. So I send one thing and based on condition, so it could happen on five different things. It could happen on one different thing. It all depends on that condition of what it is.
I see. So in essence, your program, instead of contacting and receiving a response, you're just sending a message out saying, hey, do this, mm-hmm. and then there's some system eventually is going to take that off the queue and
right.
do something.
And it's not for everything. Message queues aren't the be-all, end-all. Your database is still needed.
Right.
It's those secondary things that a user doesn't have to wait for your system to email them that they just did something.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. They'll get their email eventually.
Got it. So the best, I guess, analogy that you're making is like an email.
Right.
I send an email and say, hey, can you get X and Y done?
Mm-hmm.
And I know the email's there, but I'm not expecting the answer immediately.
Correct.
And so, but that's something that you would expect, for example, like in a database, but sometimes you just can't expect to do that.
Right. So the database is, you're locked into it. And then you want your database and the data goes there. That's great. There's these other things. Maybe you send an email. Maybe you have to send that data to your corporate office for mm-hmm. their main customer management system.
Right.
I don't need to wait for that. It'll happen.
Right.
Go do it.
I see. So I like the notion of the pattern where you send a unit of something out, and then whatever needs to happen with that happens mm-hmm. with that. You mentioned a couple of patterns that go along with message queuing, because it's obviously not just a, hey, just send one thing out and one thing grabs it and does it.
Right.
You mentioned a couple of others. Can you describe them?
Yeah, the fan-out one is, the example I use is a registration system.
Mm-hmm.
So when a customer registers in our system, they go into the database, website, writes it to the database, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And now I send that message and it's treated more like an event than a command.
Got it.
It says, this customer registered and here's their information. And I push that out to a queue.
Mm-hmm.
That queue then would, if it's set up to fan out, in Azure it's topics and subscriptions, in
uh-huh.
Rabbit it's fan out exchanges. Now I have multiple queues. They get a copy of the same message.
I see.
And now I have different applications on the backside monitoring each queue. One that sends the email, one that sends off to customer management system corporate.
Interesting.
And so now when somebody else cares about it, we just plug another app on the backside, another queue, and it just, I didn't have to touch anything else.
So in the fan-out model, essentially what's happened is it's like more of like an event. I have a new customer,
yep.
Here's the customer. And you're saying that the reason why it's such a good scalability thing is because you might want to send them an email.
Right.
You might want to also have customer service call them in 3 days. And you might come up with something new, like send them a teddy bear that says, thanks for being our customer.
Here's some paper mail and, yep.
And so that's the fan-out method.
The fan-out. So everybody gets a copy.
Got it. So I understand the fan-out method. Why would it be the case that you would do the single message in a single queue? When is a good reason to do that? Because I understand fan-out.
Right.
Because there's things that are happening asynchronously that might happen a long time from now.
Right.
Why would you do one that's a direct message queue?
The direct message queue is usually the simplest one. So that's where people start. Mm-hmm. And then you build up the things, and then it leads you to the fan-out and then the conditionals.
Right.
We started out using the direct one for email.
Yeah.
It just happened to lead us down to the fan out.
Yeah.
The other one that I've seen it used for, or that I've used it for, is to eliminate that is processed bit field in a database.
Oh yeah, everyone has that.
Yes, and I'm working to get rid of it.
I see. So describe that a little bit. I understand what you mean by that. Maybe you can elaborate.
So we take a piece of data and we write it in a database table, and we have this is processed false. That's the default value. It goes in as false. Some other cron job that runs every night at 2 a.m. or every 6 hours or whatever the schedule may be queries the table, give me everything that's false, churn through, do a bunch of stuff, write it somewhere else, do something, give some output.
Got it.
Go back to the database, say, yep, mark them all true.
Yeah.
Well, the problem we have with that is if something fails, they don't get updated, the results aren't there.
There's an inconsistency as well.
And now you have, the more that fails, the more delay you have, the longer your data becomes stale, the longer it's going to take to run the next time. And there's also a database implication to this. With your clustered key, your new data comes in. If you think of a table top down, new data comes in, goes to the bottom. It's false. This job over here needs to read the false data. It's at the bottom of the table. It then needs to update that data to be ones. It's at the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
You have three processes in the same page file.
Interesting. And so you're gonna have some thrashing going on.
No, you have thrashing. And the bigger that data gets, the more you have to query over. You can't really index a bit field.
That's interesting. And so
I got one more.
Oh, there's more, I love
there's
it.
There's more.
Yeah.
What happens when they want to add another process to the same data? You add another bit field.
And then you
and now you've just compounded your problem.
I see. And so if in the direct message sort of example, you don't even put it in the database till it's done all its work.
Well, you can put it in the database. You just don't need to set true or false. I wrote to the database. The database says, here's your ID. Great. Message queue. Here's the ID of data that I need to be processed at some point in time.
Right.
And I do it. And it runs on that one message. It's a little bit more chatty back and forth to the database now, but it's simpler. It's faster.
It
is more reliable.
And with a database, if you're adding columns for stuff a lot, that's a normalization issue.
Yeah, no, you got problems.
Yeah, and so I like how you is process thing. And then once you start adding more bits for is aged or is new, I'll be honest, I have a program out there that has is aging in there, and there's a process that goes through it every time someone does something.
Right.
Which is, it feels like it needs to do that. It feels like the pub sub way or the fan out way is if you have more than one thing that needs to happen with a particular record, you can just send the message. So let's talk a little bit about the conditional one, which is seems to be the most complicated one.
Yeah, it is. And some of the conditional ones, I'm still struggling. I read the examples, I get the examples. I don't have those examples in my workflow, I can talk about them, but I can't really.
Let's give us the 10,000 foot level of why you would use them.
The two examples that I've seen the most are sales and HR.
Got it.
So in a sales model, all the stores are sending some sort of message to a queue. I sold this item, I sold that item. Mm-hmm. And Central is collecting those messages and churning away. Mm-hmm. A new store pops up. New store here in Wisconsin Dells pops up. And they want to track Wisconsin Dells special. So it's going to send the same header type message as everybody else, mm-hmm. but it's got an additional piece of data. It says, I'm the Wisconsin Dells. Mm-hmm. So it goes into the system and it gets processed the same way as Madison and Milwaukee and everybody else. Mm-hmm. It also gets processed by the special Wisconsin Dells processor.
I see. So it's like a special processing.
Right.
Got it. So let's talk a little bit about the queue itself.
Sure.
Because this is a data, it's got to be some data structure somewhere.
Right.
How durable is it, and how much space can you allocate for that? And the other, and the last question is, how big should these messages be?
Well, the last one's the easy one.
Okay.
It can be as big as it lets you.
Okay. It just depends on the system.
It depends on which system you're using. They all have their various sizes,
right.
And they're not huge, but they're more than just like 8 bits or anything.
Yeah,
so
got it.
Typically, what I'd like to do is, if I can contain all the data needed I will do that and serialize that object, JSON, binary, right. whatever the system wants. Because that means that's one less query my backend right. system may have to run.
Because then it gets really chatty if there's right. a lot of actors.
Right. If I'm going to email a customer and I need their email address, their first name, their last name, and what they bought, I can fit that in one message and I never have to touch a database right. again. For durability, they all have some varying degrees of durability. Rabbit is configurable for how durable messages and exchanges are. Mm-hmm. Azure has them. Microsoft Message Queue has them.
So this is an optional way of setting it up. You can make it like disappear after a while. What right. happened to these messages?
Some of them can disappear after a while. Some of them will just sit there. If you've got your processes monitoring them, it'll grab them, and then that process takes it off the queue.
Got it.
And if you have problems, then you get into dead lettering and logging and
interesting.
Pounding your email system with, hey, come fix me.
Nice. So the interesting thing about queues is that you can make it so that the processing doesn't necessarily happen by one machine.
Right.
You can have multiple machines sitting there pulling work off the
yes.
queue.
That's where you get your scalability and performance.
I see.
Offload from your web servers and application servers and put it somewhere else. So one queue can have one to N applications processing messages on there.
I see. And let's just say like during Christmas time, all of a sudden you get all these orders. You can stand up machines to process them. And if your queue starts filling up, it's okay. It's not going to freeze your website.
Right. Website's not frozen. Database transactions are still happening. It's just taking
a
little bit longer to ship that next order.
You know what? And this is the funny thing. This is normal. Like when you go to your favorite store of choice on Christmas Eve, you're going to expect the line.
Or Black Friday.
You're going to expect the line to be long, and you're okay with waiting.
I got it, and I'm waiting.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that you can even tell your users, hey, we're experiencing abnormally high traffic. We've got your mm-hmm. order, and we're going to process it as soon as we can. That, telling that to a user, like, oh, okay, I understand that.
Without getting into some of these design patterns that developers love to talk about, your users don't know the difference. It's the business people that don't understand it.
Yeah.
They think of everything as one transaction when it's not.
Got it.
Database transaction, very important. As long as I get it on a queue, the rest of the stuff will happen.
That's awesome. So where can people go to find out more about these patterns or more about you and what you talk about them?
I've got an outdated website. I got to work and get myself up to date on there. But the slides and code that I did for this conference, that conference.
It's hilarious.
It's hard.
I know.
It's github.com/Zaudke, ZAUDTKE.
Got it.
Twitter handle is Al Zaudke, and you know, reach out, hit me up if you need to. The examples are out there. If you look at the other one that's not the presentation version, there's a comment in there about where I went to get this. I don't remember the blog, but there was a big series on RabbitMQ.
Awesome.
Otherwise, I go to the Azure documentation is excellent as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us on queues. This is really informative.
Thanks.
If you have a big system, you might consider using a queue to do a lot of processing and don't get overloaded.
No.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for being with us. We're here at that conference in Wisconsin Dells. Thanks for watching. And we'll see you next time. Take care.